Eternal God, who art the determiner of destiny, understandest our thoughts and art acquainted with all of our ways. We thank thee for the truth and the grace which were manifested in thy Son, for the redemptive mission of thy church, and for the assurance that nothing can ever separate us from thy love. We remember before thee those who are bravely bearing heavy burdens today, including those who are sick, and all whom we mention in the silence of our hearts. We thank thee for the fact that the gospel of Christ has not lost its power to transform each one who believes. In the inward region of the soul, we know that thou hast called us to a ministry of reconciliation. Enable us to understand the complexity of the culture in which we live, and enable us to be creative thinkers, courageous prophets of thy purpose, and trustworthy interpreters of thy truth. Help us, O God, to submit ourselves to the guidance of thy Spirit, that we may be in some measure worthy of the vocation. With all humility and kindness, with genuine love for one another, giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. On behalf of the Chapel Committee, I am very happy to welcome and to present our speaker today, the Reverend W.W. Leathers, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Henderson, North Carolina. It is pleasant to remember that he and I were fellow students at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. It is pleasant to remember even that we made a trip through Mammoth Cave at a time when that was an adventure. Early in life, he established scholarly habits of work, and he is a scholarly man of God. As a pastor, he has stood and he stands for every major value in Christianity, including the value of theological education. If I may do so without embarrassment to him, I should like to acknowledge the fact that the church of which he is pastor has made a considerable financial contribution to the Student Aid Fund every month since this school was organized. He cares about the Christian ministry. He is a good minister himself, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to present Dr. Leathers to you.
With all his dignity and learning, I do not know whether you know that Dr. Binkley has unusual skill in aiding fat ladies to get through difficult situations. I'm sure that you have none here on the campus, but if you ever get into a situation where you have that problem to face, if you will see Dr. Binkley, I think he can probably give you some points on that. I'm sure that what I say has been said by practically every speaker who has been here this year, since this is your 10th anniversary, in saying that our hearts do leap up with joy and hope when we think of and hear of and see the fine work which this institution is doing and the tremendous influence for good which she is exerting, not only over this immediate area, and that is quite large, but also over the entire world. Let me direct your thought this morning for these moments to an event in the life of David. He, in hopelessness, one of the few times in his life when his faith seems to have gone very low, went over to the foes of his country, the Philistines, to seek personal safety. He was taken by Achish, king of Gath, to war with the Philistines up in the plains of Megiddo. On the very verge of battle, he was sent home in apparent disgrace because the other Philistine kings were afraid that he would turn traitor in the midst of the battle. Getting back to the village of Gath, where he and his followers had lived, he found that it had been burned to the ground by the Midianites, and apparently all of his family and the families of his men had been put to death. We read that the people wept until they had no more capacity to weep, and well they might have. Then, as frequently happens, grief turns to anger, and the people began seeking a scapegoat upon whom they might place all the blame. David, of course, was their inevitable choice. In the sixth verse of the 30th chapter of 1 Samuel, we read these words, "And David was greatly distressed, but David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God." I'm sure you've noticed with great interest the buts in the Bible. They always reveal contrasts. And here we have one of the great contrasts revealed. The conduct of these luckless men with practically no character who were David's associates, having no faith to fall back on, and therefore turning to the scapegoat. David, on the other hand, a man of faith, a man of great character, in his moment of desperation, turning to God, and by that, getting the victory. I wonder if there's not here a message in these brief moments for each of us, but David strengthened himself in Jehovah, his God. Very briefly, let me point up to you three paradoxes here, or three alternatives, three dilemmas, you might call them, that frequently face people as they did David. First of all, the matter either of faith or frustration, one or the other. But David strengthened himself in Jehovah his God. This hapless crew that was with him, they turned on a scapegoat to try to wreak their vengeance and their anger. One or the other happens, faith or frustration. May I point out to you, you've got to have a faith to fall back on if you're going to find it in your hour of desperation. I wish time permitted me to review how David had grown his faith. You well know it. He had a faith to fall back on. Saul, his great enemy, in his moment of desperation, did not have a faith to fall back on. Consequently, he turned to suicide, faith or frustration. Notice again, will you, the paradox of prayer or paralysis. Harry Lauder is said to have remarked after World War I, losing his son, when a man is shut up to tragedy, it's either God or chaos. David's men were paralyzed by grief, by anger. So was David. Had it not been for the fact that he had the resource of prayer to which to turn and from which to draw strength, he would have gone down with the other foes of his there in their moment of paralysis. That always happens. In our moments of desperation, and they will come to all of us sooner or later, there must be some power outside ourselves to which we can turn for strength, for help. You recall those words, I'm sure, of Archbishop Trench's. Lord, what a change within us one short hour spent in thy presence doth prevail to make. What heavy burdens from our bosoms lift. What parched ground refresh as with a shower? We kneel, how weak. We rise, how full of power. We kneel, and all around us seems to lower. We rise, and all the distant and the near stands forth in sunny outline, brave and clear. We kneel, how weak. We rise, how full of power. Why should we do ourselves this wrong and others that we're not always strong? That ever we lack faith and hope and courage, when these are with thee. David found power in prayer. You'll notice once more, he faced the alternative of obedience or obstinacy. We serve a God who's a person. He doesn't have the limitations of human personality that you and I have, and yet the highest compliment, if I may use that word, the highest description that we can offer to God is that he's personal. If you can find some higher, come up with it. God is personal, and God hears. The fathers used to say we worship a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God. And when we turn to our God in faith, he answers. He's going to say something. That's an event in anybody's life when God speaks. A divide is immediately created. What are you going to do? Are you going to obey? Or are you going to be obstinate? Are you going to stand back halting and afraid, stalled on dead center? You recall the story here. God said to David when he asked the question, shall we pursue them? He said, pursue. The people all round about were saying, let's put that fellow to death. David raised the standard of an alternative that God had given him. Immediately, seemingly, the people united behind him. You perhaps recall the story. They went their way. They found their enemies and defeated them, got back their loved ones, and again had their families together. Obedience. Or obstinacy. Most of you students, I imagine, never heard Dr. George Truett. Most of the men my age, a good many younger, had the privilege of hearing him. I think easily the most persuasive preacher I've ever heard. I can recall, I think, on several occasions hearing George Truett say this: obedience is the solve for a thousand difficulties. Sometimes you will face in your life crises, tragedies. God sometimes going to speak to you when apparently the most foolish, the most senseless thing in the world you could do would be to obey God. There you face your alternative, your dilemma. Shall you obey or shall you go forward? It takes faith. It takes courage to obey. But out there, just ready to take our hands, if we will but step out, is God. When Moses and the children of Israel dared to venture into the Red Sea, it parted. They walked on dry ground. And that is but a picture of what always takes place when we, with courage, turn our backs on doubt, turn our backs on despair, turn our backs on defeat, and take up the cause and go on with God to victory. Obedience, in Truett's words, is a solvent for a thousand difficulties. It's so easy for you and for me to parley, to debate. As I said a moment ago, to stall on dead center, hoping that somehow things will work themselves out. They don't. When God speaks, the thing to do is to obey. And if we do, he will lead us through. David strengthened himself in Jehovah, his God. That's the only certain, sure, unfailing source of strength. Men fail. Jeremiah was right when he said, "Cursed be he that putteth his trust in man." Sooner or later, every man will fail. God, though, stands sure. David strengthened himself in Jehovah, his God. May we pray. Give us, O God, we pray, as thou didst thy servant of old, faith to believe, the courage to pray, willingness to pray open-mindedly, to hear what the Lord God saith, and then we pray thee the courage to obey. And help us to know, as we follow the light given to us, that we shall walk out into the light, and we shall walk in the light, and he who is the light of the world will walk with us as we go our way. In his name we pray. Amen.